this is Jill Ribbick, host of Jilly's Roadhouse, Monday afternoon from 4 until 6 on WIOX Roxbury. Serving New York's Catskill region at 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Cable Channel 20.
WIOX is supported by Town Tinker Tube Rental. For 40 years, offering whitewater tubing adventures on the Esopus Creek in Phoenicia, New York. Open 7 days a week. More information at towntinker.com.
Listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20. And everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the TuneIn or FM radio apps. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm okay.
Getting a little rain out there right now. It's getting dry. Thought I'd never say that. It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years. Yeah, it's true. True story.
It's been raining nonstop, it seems like. So we had a little 10-day dry spell, which was very nice. Got a lot done during that.
Yeah, definitely did. It was hot. It was hot yesterday, John.
I see in the weather report on Saturday, looking in the 90s.
I decided to dig a ditch yesterday for a cable line, and it was 102 in my driveway.
Yeah, that's hot for digging ditches. How did you manage?
I looked over and saw my, I filled up a five gallon pail of water. That's how I manage, and dunk my head in it every 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I look over, my 4-year-old's in it like a bathtub.
Loving life.
Thing is, she's so small she could just fit in the whole bucket. Nice. You know, I was like, look at that. See, it's all you need, just a 5-gallon bucket, and then you have amusement for about an hour. So,
or an empty box.
Yeah, I don't know. She wanted to dip her feet in there. I was like, well, I guess I'm not dumping my head in there anymore. Who knows where she's been? So, other than that, yeah, it was pretty dry. My black caps that I have planted in the middle got too blitzed with sun, so they're all dry. But the ones that have some reprieve from the full sunlight are doing okay. But red raspberries, they do well. They don't care about sun. They can get as much sun, doesn't seem to dry out.
They're starting to get ripe right now, right?
Yeah, I'm picking them, yeah.
Yeah, I've been noticing them. I started noticing them yesterday, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. Just walking up the driveway.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about today. Berries of the Catskills with Gary Mead. Gary comes on every third Wednesday to talk about a different Catskills tree. Today, no trees, just berries.
Berries, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, what's up, Gary?
Not much. I started, I got this idea last week that, you know, the month of July is black raspberry or black cap season, and I started picking this year. I always had a bush start by my house about 10 years ago, and throughout the years I've been taking care of it, and you know, the first year I might have got 5 or 6 pints, and, you know, up from there. Last year I thought I did a whopping harvest with 13.5 quarts, which is 27 pints. And so far this year, I have 40 pints picked in the freezer and ready for whatever I want to make them into. And and we're about, I don't know, maybe another week and a half at best left of them. And but I can't believe how, you know, I put a fence around them. You got to keep them. And you know, that's just it with black raspberries. They're growing against the side of my house, so they stay. That the western sun in the afternoon kind of dries them out a little. So, well, not last year, but this year I had to water them because of the fact, and actually the biggest, juiciest berries you get are underneath the leaves, kind of shaded from the sun. But I don't have red raspberries. I want to get them growing. But we're talking about a bunch of berries this week and or tonight, and I'm going to be. The month of July is black raspberries, and the month of August are blackberries for me. And I harvest both of those. Blackberries are more abundant than the black caps, and I find that I don't have them growing by my house. I go out into the wild and pick them. And you have to, you know, be up against the bears and the birds and, you know, the squirrels and whoever else is eating them. But I found if you go first thing in the morning, you have a better yield than when you go in the afternoon. By the afternoon, they're pretty well picked over, at least the ripe ones are. And the animals don't eat them unless they're completely ripe. Pretty,
oh, yeah.
Pretty smart, yep. But the black caps out in the wild and, you know, like with the sun, you know, I saw Hop on Tuesday, Hoppy Quick, and he went out looking for him, and he said, I think black caps are going to be late this year. I didn't find any. I said, no, they're actually right in full season now. And I said, but this was out in the wild, and I don't think, you know, they're probably not shaded well. So I said, between the hot sun and the bears, I think you might have got a little bit behind on them, but. So yeah. When I went down, you know, I talked to him on the phone before I went to see him, and when I went down, I brought him a half a pint, and he gobbled them right up like a bear. Yep.
Yeah, they're the ones I have in the middle of the little orchard I have are all dried out. They've produced fruit, and they just dried out. And I'm going to cut them all down this winter and just remove them. But the ones towards the back that get some shade from the forest edge.
Well, you just move
them. They are huge.
Move them over there.
You know, really, I think they would. I get a lot of sun, Gary. A ton of sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have to move them really to the forest edge outside the orchard at that point.
Is that quite a ways away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
You couldn't put a little patch around your house on the.
I'm going to go with what works, you know. Then yeah. I have to manage them. I really don't feel like managing another plant at this point,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you.
Went too many.
I'm just going to go with what grows well, and I think I'm just going to plant red raspberries since they seem to grow really well in full sunlight.
Yeah, I want to get those started. But I noticed the black caps, it's amazing how they regenerate. I had a...
Go crazy.
Where the siding meets my the channel, where my windows, because I have vinyl siding, and... You know, the trim around the window, there's that channel there, and I had one of the plants get in the back of that channel. And, you know, I always pull them away from the house because I don't want them growing up the house. You know, when you open the windows, they get stuck in the window or whatever, so I cut them off. But I tried to pull this out. There's no dirt in there, but yet this thing rooted. And when they cascade out onto the lawn where the front of it, they're very easy to grow. If you want to regenerate them, you just put them in a bucket with dirt in it and keep it watered. I mean, I want to move a bunch of them to New Kingston. So, and this is a very good, healthy plant, you know, plants that I have by my house. So, you know, I'm going to take little buckets and just bury the tip of them in the dirt in the fall, and you know, when they root by next spring, and I'll cut them off, and I'll have little plants to transplant.
To me, black caps or black raspberries just remind me of being a kid. That's all I picked when I was little.
There's nothing better than eating when they're in the sun and they're still warm.
Yeah.
I mean, the flavor is so awesome. You know, or after I picked this year, my grandchildren stopped by, and they were, you know, when they have to be black before you pick them, when they have their peak, you know. But I picked that morning, and they came, you know, maybe 11 o'clock or 11:30, and, you know, they were out there, and they were picking the ones that were kind of blackish, reddish. And, boy, they're tart at that point.
So, yeah.
And I said, well, just put them in a bowl, leave them on your counter overnight, and eat them tomorrow.
I tell you, that berry likes disturbed sites, man, because it re-roots, like you said. The best black cap still I've ever had was when a housing development was going to go in the village of New Paltz.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to pull it out, right, pull the project. And black caps came back where the dozer had been. Oh, man, those were just growing in heads. And each berry was just huge.
Amazing.
Just huge. Mm-hmm. Never saw anything like that since. Those ones I saw in the forest edge that I planted in the orchard I was telling you about, you know, where it was more shadier, were just as big, but there's only like 1, 2, 3, 4 growing separately. These were all clusters of huge berries. And I was like, wow, I mean,
I got to show you my bush.
Yeah.
And I being by my house that close.
Do you prune them or anything, or cut them back each year?
Yeah, I prune them and go through. I pull out the dead wood, and I keep the weeds out of them, you know, because different plants start to grow in there.
And how do you prune them? Is there a method to that?
The method to pruning them is just cut the dead wood out,
the ones that want the seed?
The ones that, well, I think they go for about 2 years, each plant, and then they die and they re-root. You know, they send another shoot off the root, or they hit the ground and grow another. But anything that's dead gets pruned out.
They grow off of a second-year-old? The second-year-old ones produce fruit, or the first year? I don't remember.
The second-year-old. The first years don't. I mean, they just big, tall, cascading things above everything else. And
I'm not positive, John, but I think you cut back the ones that go to fruit.
Yeah. Right. Well, that would make sense if they're second-year-old that fruits, you know, get them out of there, and then the next years are coming in.
Well, as I'm picking, and I have the end of a plant that I got all the berries off, because it's really, the bushes are thick, and it's hard to get in there, and you got to wear a long-sleeve shirt and long pants, because they will get you. And if you get stuck by one, you go backwards. You don't pull away from them, because it'll rip your skin right open.
Yeah.
And but anyway, I prune anything that's done this year. I prune it as I'm picking, because it opens up, you know, underneath the bush so I can see better. And you know, some of the time while I'm picking, I'm on my hands and knees looking up under the bush and holding it up. And I have a little trick that I learned from picking blackberries back on the farm. You take a plastic milk jug, half a gallon or a gallon, and clean it out good. You cut a big hole in the front of it, leaving the handle on, and you string it through your belt. So now you're two-hand picking, which is amazing. And you don't have to hold the container. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just leave a couple belt loops out so you can slide it one way or another. And, you know, I can get about two quarts in about an hour.
Huh.
And I never seen black caps so abundant before.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talk about a different forest-related topic. And tonight we're talking about berries of the Catskills with Gary Mead.
Got any bear stories picking berries, Gary?
What?
Got any bear stories picking berries?
The bears? Not on my property. No. Actually, the first year I started growing them, first time I went out to pick, I was getting bombarded by birds. They were screaming at me, and you know, I just turned around and said, these are my berries. There's berries all over there. Go get your own.
Yeah.
And now they leave them alone. I mean, they just, you know, they were taking them before I realized they were there, and it was just one of the places they got. But down at the mill, I have black raspberries all over, and actually a little few red raspberries. They don't seem to do as good as the black raspberries, but I let the birds have those, and Yeah, there's a bunch of them all through Arkville. They're all over the place.
So. Maybe they like clay soil because I got clay soil. Yeah. I don't know. That seems to do the best.
Well, I had one that was growing off my siding, so I don't think they're particular where they grow.
I guess not. I don't know. They're big this year.
I can't imagine it rooted. I mean, I thought it was just stuck behind there, and I pulled it out, and it had roots on it. I said, oh, my God, these things are very adaptable, to say the least. But there's a bunch of other berries in the Catskills that, you know, once I get it all together, I'm going to, you know, have them around by my house when I get to New Kingston. And, you know, I love having berries year-round. It's just so rewarding to have berries in the middle of winter. And, you know, I came up with this, blackberry and blackcap dessert. And you take a little fruit bowl and you put maybe 3 or 4 tablespoons of berries in, 2 of black cap, 2 of the blackberries. Take a small little pot and heat up some honey, and you put a tablespoon sprinkled around on the frozen berries, and it's creamy and it tastes awesome. My grandchildren just love that. My apple juice and the berries are, I mean, they come to my house and that's what they want, apple juice and berries. So they don't even say hi. They just come in, they run to the refrigerator, grab the apple juice out of there, and I get them a cup, and away they go. But this berry thing, I just found out about a year ago, and I just tried it one night when I was home, and it'll work with blueberries, it'll work, but you freeze them, and when you're eating them, they're like ice cream because of the frost in them. It's really a delicious dessert. But, you know, with blueberries, I mean, we got huckleberries, we got bilberries, we got mulberries that grow over by Ryan more than here. But I heard you planted some around Arkville.
Yeah, but we can't say where it is.
No,
I already got one guy eating them.
Yeah, I heard today.
I wouldn't tell him where it is.
Yeah.
No, you know, I'll get my own. I don't go on other people's plants and pick. I mean, but I'd like to get a mulberry started. So you're gonna have to teach me how to get it. And that's a tree, a bush more than it's a woody bush.
It's like and it's a long black, like blackberry-like fruit that grows off of it. Some are sweeter than others, you know. But when they're really sweet, they're much sweeter than blackberries.
Mm. Oh, no kidding.
But they're more cylindrical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's different varieties now they have. The one that's planted in Arkville is a white mulberry.
Is that a hybrid?
It might be a hybrid between white and red.
Mm-hmm.
But the red mulberry I have planted at my house is doing great. Grows like a weed. That's an Illinois variety, they call it, and it's very sweet.
Oh, it is.
But they're not as prolific.
Can you take a cut off that and start it somehow?
I've heard you can, but with limited success, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But if you get one sprout started, it'll grow into a bush, right, or a tree?
You could. You know what? They sell them. You could buy one.
Just plant already it. Plant it, yeah.
And it'll grow in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know.
And where do they sell them?
You can order them online, you know, through Stark Brothers or any of them. But
all right, yeah.
Any of the companies sell them.
Yeah.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Today's topic is Berries of the Catskills with Gary Mead.
I was a little too tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering out. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high, way up firm and high. Out past the cornfields when the woods got heavy, out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy, working on mysteries without any clues, working on our night moves, trying to make some
drinking on a nine moon. In the summertime. Some high in the sky song. We were just young and restless and bored, living by the sword. And we'd steal away every chance we could, to the back room, to the alley, or the trusty woods. I used her, she used me, but neither one cared. We were getting our share, working on a nine moon. Trying to lose the awkward teenage blues. Working on a nine moves. And it was summertime. Sweet summertime, summertime. The lightning, yeah, and waited on the thunder, waited on the thunder. I woke last night to the sound of thunder. How far off I sat and wondered. Started humming a song from 1962. Ain't it funny how the night moves, when you just don't seem to have as much to lose. Strange how the night moves, with autumn closing in.
Is supported by the Franklin Stage Company, professional theater without charge to the public that brings together audiences and artists to create community and celebrate the enduring power of stories. Presenting productions all summer, classic puppetry, historical drama, light comedy, and live music at historic Chapel Hall in Franklin, New York. Information and reservations, dates and times, and directions at franklinstagecompany.org or 607-829-3700.
All right, this is From the Forest, every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Berries of the Catskill Mountains with Gary Mead. And off the air, we're talking a little bit about some other berries people probably haven't heard of, but Hey, what about Hobblebush? You ever have a Hobblebush berry there, Gary?
No. What are they like?
Yeah, you'd be walking up in the higher elevations, and there's this thing that trips you. It's also known as witch hobble. But once in a while, it grows in some of the mature forests, like, you know, above 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
And it'll get this little dark purple berry on it. They're actually not too bad. It tastes like a raisin almost.
I know I've seen plenty, but I never eat anything I don't know about. You don't taste it and see what happens, you know?
Why not?
But we were talking about gooseberries. I remember on the farm we had gooseberries growing all over the place and currants. And I never realized what I said about currants is they were banned in New York State for a while because they hosted a beetle or a bug that...
White pine blister rust. They share a host.
Right.
It's kind of like cedar apple rust. It needs two hosts in order to complete its life cycle.
Yeah.
It needs an apple and a cedar tree. Well, same thing with currants. They needed a white pine and a currant.
Because I haven't seen currants in probably 40 years, so that must be why.
Yeah.
I remember we used to make jelly and jam out of all that, and blackberries, we used to pick 100 quarts a year out in the woods and put them in the freezer, and for Easter and Christmas and all those holidays, we'd pull them out and we'd make pies out of them. We had fresh blackberry pie all year long. Well, I have to tell you a story about my brother Eugene when we caught these two small raccoons, like, at the end of the summer. And we put them in a cage in the barn.
Why?
Because we wanted to look at them.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
We tried to make them pets, but they're not...
Sorry, it's a silly question.
They're not good pets.
Okay.
I mean, people used to bring deer and skunks and all that stuff into their house. My family was famous for that, but... We had these raccoons, and we had them, I think it was about February, and I went in the house, and I grabbed a quart of blackberries, and, you know, I was feeding the raccoons on a stick. I put it in the cage, and the raccoon would take it with his nice little paws and very nice and easy, lick it off, and I put another one on, and my brother Eugene had a bright idea. I'll bet he'll eat it off my finger. And he put it on his finger. He stuck it in. That raccoon didn't see a berry. All he saw was finger. And man, he nailed that.
Bit it pretty hard.
What did he do to it? What kind of damage? Anything?
Just tooth marks. You know, went in, put peroxide on it, whatever, and then we let them go.
Oh, yeah.
We realized after 3 months they weren't going to be friendly, but they got used to us, you know, and we were feeding them grain and corn, and they were very well fed.
Yeah.
But they weren't rabid. You can't take a wild animal, and put it in a cage. It's ignorant, to say the least.
Did you say you brought skunks and deer into the house?
Yeah, actually, had the skunk years ago, I would say back in the late 50s, I can remember my uncles would come over, and in the spring, they would take a huge rug, and they would pull it over a bunch of baby skunks, you know, that they saw in the field or whatever, because, you know, dad or whatever he called, I'd tell his brother, oh my god, there's a family of skunks over here. They'd come running over and they pull this big rug over them and then go and take them. And back then the vets used to descent them, used to bring them to the vet for $25.
Are you kidding me?
No, I ain't kidding you at all. But it was outlawed not that long after that. You can have a pet skunk, but you cannot descent them. So
you can't have a pet.
So that'll deter everybody.
Not safely.
I don't think you could have a pet.
You don't want something to be disturbed, you know, in your house. And
how are they as a pet? Once you descend,
they're like cats. They rub up against you, and they're very
really?
They sleep in your lap. They curl up. And
that's funny.
They're amazing pets. They're so friendly. They don't bite, scratch. They're like a real pet cat. But that's no more. But like I say, wild animals are meant to be in the wild. Domestic animals can't live in the wild and survive.
What are you saying? You can't introduce any more new pets? That's it? Dogs, cats, done.
Well,
I say we need to innovate in the pet world.
Pigs, chickens, cows, donkeys. I mean, there's enough out there to satisfy your needs for a pet.
I guess
you can, you know, I feel bad for birds in cages, but we're getting off the subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, a bird is meant for a 100-mile radius, and put it in a cage, it's just cruel. And, you know, they wonder why they pick their feathers out and have problems. Because they're unhappy. That's like putting me in a cage. I wouldn't be very happy in a cage. Unless you fed me berries.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, there's a berry that grows by your mill. It's one of my favorites. It's thimbleberry. You ever hear of it?
No. Where'd you see it?
Grows right along the road on the...
You pass by it four times a day, Gary.
Oh, are they the green little green clusters?
Nope.
No. No. They have, like, maple-like leaves, right?
Yeah, kind of like a sycamore leaf, maybe.
Yeah, and the berry is red, and it literally resembles a thimble. They're very delicate, which is why they'll never be sold in stores. Kind of like black caps, but even more delicate. Like, when you go to pick them, you have to be kind of careful not to break them.
Yeah, purple flowers.
Yeah, purple flowers. And what's weird about them is they...
And they're big purple flowers. They're about the size of a quarter.
Yeah, and they're a tease, because they never give you a lot. And
well, I know what you're talking about. I never knew they were edible.
Oh, they're really good. It tastes like raspberry and vanilla.
Yeah, I think it tastes like black raspberry ice cream.
When are they in season?
Okay.
Specifically.
When are they in season?
Like now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd say now.
Well, maybe I'll go.
What's nice about them is they're long. Like, mm-hmm. they don't all fruit at one time. They're kind of like gradual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they flower and they fruit at the same time.
And they like shaded areas along the road there. That's where they grow.
Really shaded, wet, moist areas.
I'll have to look for them now, because I never realized you could eat those either.
They're right, he gave away our picking spot, and now Gary's going to take them.
I don't go there anymore.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I know a good black cap spot.
Yeah, I have to find out when I'm not home.
Yeah. Picking in the moonlight's fine. Or dark, doesn't matter. You get your night vision.
Full moon last night, right?
Plus, I could park at one place, walk a little bit.
And book out of
here. Like, I'll get them.
Well, I have an abundance this year. I picked you actually some to take home with you.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. They won't last long.
They won't last. Well, that's what they're made for, is to eat.
Yeah, I love them.
You know, I just like, everything I do, I like to get a year's supply, because I hope to be living in another year, and it's just so wonderful to get, you know, organic, fresh berries in the middle of the winter. You know?
The only thing I've ever picked for that I had the discipline enough to pick, fruit-wise, for a year's supply was blueberries. Low-bush blueberry. And I always thought high-bush was the only blueberry plant that gave any kind of quantity until there was a forest fire up on the ridge, the Shawangunk Ridge above the Rondout Valley.
Yeah.
And they
created, these are wild?
Yeah. They created clusters of blueberry heads, and they were so plentiful that if you took a blueberry rake, I actually bought a blueberry rake, and just comb it through the leaves, and you, before that I was picking them by hand, and I thought I was really, really good at picking a gallon in 2 hours. I was like, okay, it's not bad. Then when I went to the blueberry rake, it was a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you have to do, the extra step, is you put them on a little ramp or something, or a wooden ramp, and you just kind of roll them down, and the leaves stay on the ramp. Blueberries keep going.
All right, yeah.
Right?
They roll
then,
downhill.
Hell yeah. And then you have a ton of blueberries. I was picking like 28, 30, I don't know, quarts, 30, 40, I don't remember. We were eating blueberries like crazy. And there's nothing like wild blueberries. They're so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. It's like any wild berry. Just so you pick them after you harvest them, after the sun's been out on them and they're warm.
Yeah.
They just melt in your mouth. Up on my property, where I'm putting my house, actually, the name of the road's going to be Blueberry Hill. And we have a bunch of those really tiny plants that get those tiny little blueberries, and they're painful to pick because you bend over. Their plants are only like at most 5 inches, 6 inches tall.
Yeah, that's low bush blueberry.
That's a low bush blueberry.
That's a low bush?
Yeah.
But they're so tiny.
Well, the berries are, because they probably need a fire or more light.
I didn't know that. You know, so
they need a fire. I didn't realize that they grew in heads, literally blueberry heads, after a forest fire.
I've never seen one bigger than a small pea.
They get huge. And what I didn't realize is on the Shawangunk Ridge, there's like 5 to 7 varieties of blueberries. People don't even realize. And they all fruit at kind of different times. Summer in July, that's the low bush blueberry. That's July. Mm-hmm. 4th of July, they're starting to ripen. And then there's huckleberry, And that has like a little bigger seed and it's darker.
Yep.
They're sweet. They're really good. No more seeds than a black cap. I mean, some people are bothered by it, but I don't hang out with those people.
No.
Bothered by seeds. But anyway.
Well, actually, I know people that won't eat them because they have seeds and that suits me fine.
Yeah, that's fine. More for us. And then there's some that grow on stalks. Like you kind of.
Blueberries?
Yeah. They're like almost like more upright. And it's really weird. They're good too. So but I remember a guy set up a table at the Ellenville Blueberry Festival, and he had the different varieties in Minnewaska State Park, and it was over 5 varieties.
No kidding.
Of low bush blueberry.
Well, now I know what to do with those ones in New Kingston. Should I, you know, there's a bunch of grass and stuff growing around them, so I should just burn it.
And the whole valley. Just
the next year.
Well, burning brings up legal issues, so I'm not going to tell you anything about burning.
No, I can get a permit when it's the burn season and, you know, burn some brush or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking for, you know, acres of it. I would think just wild, and I've never seen one. Once in a while, there's some bigger ones.
To be honest, Gary, I think low bush is more of the true forest blueberry. It's mm-hmm. more of a forest-wide management thing. And if it's anything small, like less than an acre, you might as well put in high bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
issued a flash flood warning for South Central Sullivan County, Northeastern Pike County in Northeastern Pennsylvania until 9:30 p.m. At 6:34 p.m., Doppler radar indicated thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area with additional heavy rain approaching already saturated locations in southern Sullivan County. Up to 2 inches of rain have already fallen near Glens Bay. Another 1 to 2 inches of rain is likely as more storms move in. Some locations that will experience flooding include Chahala, Highland Lake, Hartwood, Eldred, Oakland, Glens Bay, Mongo Valley Wildlife Area, Forestburg, and Berryville. Excessive runoff from heavy rainfall will cause flooding of small creeks and streams, country roads, farmland, and other low-lying spots. A flash flood warning means that flooding is imminent or occurring. If you are in the warned area, move to higher ground immediately. Residents living along streams and creeks should take immediate precautions to protect life and property.
They're the size of football, some of these things. They're huge. They get pretty big sometimes.
What's the season for these?
Fall.
Uh-huh. I'll have Mitch grab up some.
He should plant some, especially where he is.
Yeah.
So, I planted some. They're growing well. They have no pest issues in comparison to apple.
Right.
In any case. Anyway, there's these two people. There's this one person in West Shokan that's got them. And I look at them every day because I come to a stop sign and there they are. And the deer don't browse. They grow right to the base. The deer don't eat them.
No kidding.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That deer don't eat black birch either. Go figure. Tastes like wintergreen. So one day she tells me, I met her down the road. She's like, yeah, you can have some. I'll be like, I'll be right up. I'm coming right now. She was like, oh, my God, he's going to take them all. I was like, I might. So anyway, I just took one.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man, those things are awesome.
And jeez. They're just like a flesh is yellowish?
It's like a banana flesh.
Oh, no kidding.
It is so good. I tried planting them in Arkville 7 years ago, and they died. I planted them before that winter. Remember in 2010 or 9, we had like below 30 degree temperatures
for about
3 days
weeks.
In a row or 2 weeks or a month, whatever it was. Well, I had them planted in the ground during that time.
Well,
they
that
died
year,
for sure.
Yeah. That year we had 3 weeks where it didn't get above freezing. That was a year when the frost went down 7 feet.
Yeah, people say, oh, it's a zone 5. Well, yeah, until it gets negative 30 one time, and then wherever you plant it is a zone 4, and it's dead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a persimmon tree up on the side of Balsam Lake Mountain that somehow persists.
A persimmon tree?
Yeah, a friend
on
of mine.
On Balsam Lake Mountain.
Well, some friend of mine planted it at our camp.
Oh, yeah.
And it dies. Every few years, it's completely dead, and then it'll sprout back from the root and grow another 2-3 feet, and Then we'll get another hard winter, and it'll die again.
I mean, that's like 2,700 feet or something.
Yeah,
right?
That's about what we are.
Yeah, that's high for persimmon.
Yeah, I don't. It's never gonna grow.
But it grows back.
Every year it grows back, and it doesn't always die. So, I mean, like I said, about every 3 years it'll get top killed.
Yeah.
Grow to another 3-4 feet, and
I've heard people do that with fig trees in New York City or Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll plant it, dies back, comes back, fruits, dies back. I don't know. It's like a zone 7 down there, though.
Right.
Anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. And tonight's topic? I think we're talking about berries.
Berries.
This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. And tonight, like every third Wednesday, we talk to Mr. Gary Mead from Fruitful Furnishing Sawmill and Gary Mead Gallery. We're talking about berries, right, Gary?
We are. And the Forest Festival at the end of the month, I just wanted to throw that out there for anyone interested in joining us at that. It's going to be a good show. Hope we have the weather that we've had in the past couple of weeks for that day. That would be awesome. But
yeah, it's July 27th.
Yeah, so you know, put it on your calendar and meet us down there. I'm doing 2 book readings, 11 in the morning and then 2 in the afternoon. My first tree book and my second tree book. And now back to berries. But the red mulberries.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between that and a? And I guess a green mulberry.
A white mulberry?
They're white or they're yellow, right? Actually.
People are probably wondering, this is easy. One's yeah. white, one's red. But they're not. They're both reddish. I don't know. They hybridize, so it gets very difficult. The red mulberry is supposedly the true native. Well, it is the true native mulberry.
Right.
And white mulberry is native to China or, you know, Asia.
Oh, so but they, and then the bees pollinate.
I like both. I mean, I've yeah, I guess. I grew up eating mostly white mulberry because they grow everywhere wild. They're tougher than red mulberry. They'll grow in a sidewalk crack or in a abandoned parking lot, or they'll grow anywhere. So and they know have no pest issues. You know, so people get hung up on this tree because it's from China or whatever. Hey, it doesn't. You don't need to spray it with anything. No right. pesticides, yeah. and it grows fruit. What do you want?
Yeah.
You know, like what's the problem here?
That's what I'm
you know?
About. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a tough tree, man. I recommend planting it, you know. I don't know if it's on the ban list. I don't think white mulberry is, but who knows.
I don't think it's that aggressive. You know, it's a seasonal thing, and,
yeah.
I mean, it isn't overwhelming or overtaking anything. Just,
yeah.
I mean.
Birds love it.
Birds love mulberry,
oh
period,
goodness.
Man.
I had to fight a crow on Ryan's tree last week when I walked up to it.
Yeah, I've
They get mad.
The leaves were just covered in bird crap.
Yeah.
I had to pick around berries that, didn't have bird crap on them.
They get really mad. They get really mad with mulberry.
Yeah.
More so than any other fruit,
Squawking
I think.
Squawking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had them, like I say, with my black caps. They were diving at me.
Oh, yeah?
I said, oh, you guys got to go somewhere else. I'm not backing down. I'm just not. So that's when I started getting up before they got up, and I was at the bush.
Beat them to it.
Right.
And now they just realize that it's my bush and they don't bother it.
Yeah.
Once in a while, a bird will come by and pick a couple berries, but it isn't like it used to be, just 8 or 10 birds a day just cleaning it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you let it go to the afternoon, there's no berries left. The ripe ones are gone. Anyway. But what kind of preservation do you for mulberries? Can you just freeze them, or they won't take a freeze?
I think you can just freeze them. But, you know, Gary, I've never had a discipline to store mulberry. I usually just eat them like an angry, hungry bear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
I just can't
and
do it.
In the season, yeah. Well, I found that when you're picking berries, you can't eat while you're picking, or you won't get much done.
I've only, like I said, blueberries, the only thing I've ever picked to store. I treat mulberries like instead of going to Fresh Town and buying a quart of blueberries or something for $5, I'll just go eat some mulberries or something.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting berries out there. And I guess with the internet and all the Googling and all that now, you could probably find out pretty much anything through that media and about these berries. And
well, if you're interested, when you're going to Kingston next time, and this is the time, mulberry are ripe right now, just look for stains on the road. You'll see a big stain on the road, you know it's mulberry. Or if you see shiny leaves while driving, and then on closer inspection, this tree is just like sassafras in that they share that common trait where they have three different leaf shapes on one tree.
On one tree,
a mitten, a double mitten, and a simple leaf.
Mm-hmm.
They're a weird tree. So.
And they're all purple.
They're purple to black.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some mulberries, and they're not, I don't think they're white mulberry, that actually ripen in a whitened state. They're rare,
mm-hmm.
but they're very sweet. I've only seen a few in my life.
Isn't that one of that's the true white mulberry, then?
I you would think so, John.
But probably
not. I'm not so sure that's the case. But I've seen one in Rhinebeck, and I've seen one, doesn't really matter, I guess, maybe an Accord, but very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the red mulberries are just not as tough, and they need more well-drained soil, whereas white mulberry will grow just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I see, I've seen mulberry trees on long city streets, and there was that purple stain on the sidewalk.
They're probably white mulberries, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably what they are, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I never knew that you could eat them. I never investigated.
I mean, they're awesome. They're one of the first fruits I remember because my aunt, my grandfather's sister, she told me I had to go in the backyard and go up in the tree and shake it. And she'd put a rug underneath it and shake all the mulberries onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first encounter with mulberry, and I loved it.
And what'd she do with them?
She make pies out of them or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I usually just ate them by the handful.
Mm-hmm.
They're so sweet, you know.
And there are no seeds in them, or they're tiny little seeds?
Tiny seeds. Yeah. You don't notice them. You wouldn't notice them.
Yeah.
Maybe those people who, again, who we don't hang out with, don't like seeds in between their teeth a little bit.
Yeah. What about elderberry? You guys do anything with that?
I haven't.
My friend has. He's made a wine out of them, obviously, yeah. Right?
But I made a wine once. It was weird, though, because the inside of the jug where the liquid level is, it turns green, and it's like a very, very sticky, sappy, pitchy green.
Sounds terrible.
Well, you don't eat that. You don't drink that, obviously. But
you stick a hose down and siphon it out.
Yeah, you have to siphon it off, but like when you go to clean your glass when you're done, you can't get it off. It's like you need like turpentine or something to get that stuff off. But yeah, it's the very pitchy green stuff. Hmm. I thought I did something wrong until I read about it, and people said that's common. Hmm. And the wine was okay.
Must do that when it ferments, then.
I guess so.
You know, Gary, I misspoke. The only other berry I have stored, actually, but this is more of a fall one, is autumn olive. Forgot about that.
Oh, autumn olive.
But that's not ripe till I don't know, September,
September,
October.
Yeah. Or later, yeah.
And they're a tree or a bush?
A shrub that's now on the banned list. You can't legally propagate it in New York State. Again, here's another thing that you don't have to spray. And it fertilizes the soil because it's a nitrogen fixer. So when it dies back, it actually releases nitrogen. People would plant it in between black walnut orchards for that reason.
Oh, really? They need nitrogen, huh?
They release nitrogen.
Well,
anything will do well with nitrogen,
yeah.
So, but that thing produces every year, usually, and a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get into that, too.
Yeah, I liked it so much, we almost named one of our daughters Autumn Olive, but doesn't start with an M. So forget it.
Yeah, I made an autumn olive wine once. It was weird. It's a red berry, but it made a white, kind of white cloudy wine.
Yeah.
And then my mother made some jelly out of it. It was good.
Yeah. I thought it was bad as a wine.
And they're sweet, right?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. They're sweet tart, right?
Yeah, it's more tarty. I guess if you pick them a little too early, they can be quite tart. But I like it. I like that tartiness.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be... Now, they have a bigger seed, so it's going to take a little more tolerance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
They can have a big thorn, so watch your fingers when you're picking them.
But that's why they're invasive, is because... And I hate the term invasive, but they're so prolific because of the thorn, and the deer can't eat them too well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, good for them, man.
Oh, the most aggressive thorn that I've seen is the white rose.
Multiflora?
Oh, damn.
It's the worst.
I can always get you in your ears.
I have them growing around the mill. I leave them there because, and I cut them back in the fall. But during the summer, the whole mill smells like them. They grow up a tree 30 feet.
Yep.
You know, as long as they're up the tree, they're not going to bother you. But, you know, the one back by the sawmill, I have that whole corner just full of it. Mm. And, but, you know, I get... If you get hooked on one of them, I mean, they're aggressive. They're like a cat's claw, even curved a little bit more.
Yeah, man, I grew up in Hudson Valley, and we have them.
Because a lot of berries, not a lot, but some berries have thorns. And, I mean, a blackberry is worse than a black cap thorn. They're a little bigger and a little more hooked to them. And it's kind of easy to get off a black cap. When it hooks you, you just back up and it lets go. You know, blackberry, not so much. You got to kind of pull the damn thing off you.
Multiflora rose is hooked in a way that it grabs you and pulls you down. And then once they get big, you're just not going to go through them.
Nope.
It's just, it's not going to happen. Yeah. I've seen them, the worst I've ever seen them is in Newburgh, on Stewart State Forest. It's a wildlife management area. There are sections where you can't go.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. You would need a dozer to clear it. I'm not joking.
Yeah,
it's okay, you need to get a bulldozer in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
You can't even spray it. I mean, you couldn't get to it. You know?
Wow.
But you know what? The bucks go in there somehow because there's so many hunters. There's over 90 parking areas where it gets hunted. There's lines of hunters that come into this area. And you wonder where all the bucks go.
They're in the rows.
They're in that rows.
Yeah.
Awful. I bet you their hides are just full of marks, man. If you were to make leather from, you'd probably see all those. Probably yeah. tell a story of many multi-flora battles. You know.
Yeah, at least they live another year, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a couple minutes here, so.
Well, I wrote a black cap poem.
All right, 2 minutes, go.
I wrote it today, and it's not that long. Black raspberries. July in the Catskills, blackberries are ripe, ready for picking and storing. To have enough for the year, up early getting ahead of the birds. Usually by afternoon, ripe ones are gone. This season, only 1 month long. So one must harvest when, what one can. Wild plants nature provides. Manure in the fall around the roots. No need for chemicals or pesticides. Pruning early spring, dead sticks within. Weed out other plants growing within. This keeps them healthy all year long. Preparing for the month long harvest in spring. This will ensure 11-month supply. Preserving berries and jellies and jams, also freezing right after the pick. Handle of cutout milk jug front, threaded through the belt of pants, freeing up both your hands. Long pants and shirt are a good idea. The barbs on these plants can scratch and hurt. If a barb grabs hold of you, gentle backward motion works for release. Many wild animals feast on these. Thank goodness for nature, birds and bees. All that eat them spread the seeds when they poop in the meadows and trees. Spreading the wealth of future. Another cycle of a wonderful seed. A gift from nature still exceeds my respect for this plant my whole life through. And that's my poem for the night. I'll probably have to tweak that one a little bit.
Well, Gary, thanks for sharing that.
A couple hours before I came here.
Thanks for sharing that, Gary, and perfect timing. That's all we have on From the Forest. Up next is Mostly British with Rick Nevelung. And next week will be about the Forest Festival with John and Daria. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Peace, everybody.
The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year. When the wildflowers did bloom in the forest, she touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest.
You're listening to WIOX, Roxbury. Community Radio, 91.3 FM, and streaming live at WIOXradio.org.
WIOX is supported by Qualterry's Garden Center on Route 30 in Roxbury, specializing in landscape design and installation, annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and houseplants, as well as a wide selection of pottery. Qualterry's Garden Center, serving the community for 22 years, open daily from 8 to